Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Credit Asset Grameen Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Renish Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Nirav. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Credit Asset Q2 FY25 earnings call. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank CA Grameen Management Team for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today, we have with us the entire top management team of CA Grameen, represented by Mr. Uday Kumar, Managing Director, Mr. Ganesh Narayanan, CEO, Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, CFO, and Mr. Sahib Sharma, DGM, Investor Relations. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Uday Kumar for his opening remarks, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Renish. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the conference call to discuss our second quarter and first half year of FY25 business performance. The unsecured lending space, including microfinance, marked by high growth, has been witnessing an increase in delinquency levels over the past three, four quarters. Given the short-term nature of such unsecured lending and timely calibration by various institutions, we believe this credit cycle to be transient in nature. Taking due cognizance of this, the microfinance industry, represented by MFIN, implemented the guardrails in July 2024 to strengthen the underwriting norms across all regulated entities. While we have been witnessing an accelerated realization of delinquencies in the last few months, we believe that the MFIN guardrails are essential for fostering a healthier environment for the industry in the medium to long run. Coming to the second quarter performance, the overall AUM grew by 11.8% YOY to 25,133 crores, with the GL book growing by 9.3% YOY to 24,188 crores. Meanwhile, RF book, or retail finance book, continued to show robust growth driven by selective customer base with an AUM of rupees 945 crores. The customer base grew 7.2% YOY to 49.63 lakh at the end of 2024. On a QOQ basis, we witnessed 4.4% decline in our overall AUM and 1% decline in the customer base. We added 1.4 lakh new customers during the quarter and 3.37 lakh during the half-year FY25. Our branch infrastructure expanded to 2,031 across 398 districts as we added 55 new branches during this quarter. The net interest income grew by 20.8% YOY to rupees 933 crores. As guided before, our average and marginal cost of borrowing remained steady at 9.8% and 9.4%, respectively. The portfolio yield at 21.1% and interest spread 11.4% too remained stable and continued to be one of the lowest in the microfinance industry. NIM stood at 13.5% for Q2 FY25 compared to 13% in Q1 FY25 because of higher capital adequacy of 26.2% and low base effect on account of a decline in loan portfolio. Cost-to-income ratio was 30.7%, while PPOP grew by 19.5% YOY to 672 crore at the end of Q2 FY25. We would now like to draw your attention to slides 6 to 10 on the asset quality update. We have observed a temporary increase in delinquencies across various geographies on account of several factors. There have been localized disruptions in repayments caused by third-party interventions in various states. Customers have been facing tight liquidity and cash flow constraints as the lending industry has curtailed disbursement with more focus on controlling delinquencies. Further, certain customers, especially agri-laborers, have also faced income variations on account of low rainfall last year, followed by severe heat wave during April to June 2024. Furthermore, there has been also a transient impact on heavy rainfall in several regions during the September quarter. On top of all the above, a segment of over-leveraged borrowers with lower cash flow also are part of this delinquent bucket. We expect the situation to stabilize in Q3 FY25, and business sentiments should improve in Q4 FY25. The company continues to strengthen its collection effort with additional power control measures by deploying senior and experienced field staff and quality control teams on the back of continuous customer engagement in addition to strong underwriting measures. We try to understand the current delinquency trend by analyzing the customer overlap with other lenders, along with leverage and vintage. The delinquency is the lowest in the case of unique customers with high vintage and highest in case of customers with low vintage and high velocity of loans being availed from multiple lenders. As on September 24, CA Grameen 4 and above, plus 4 above, accounted for 12.6% of our group lending portfolio and had PAR 15 of 12.2%. Hence, the overall PAR 15 plus impact on account of CA Grameen plus 4 above customers is 1.5% only. We have also drawn state-wise comparison of our delinquency versus the microfinance industry by sourcing credit bureau data for the month of August 24. As visible on slide 9, our performance has been relatively better than the industry across our top five states, accounting for 85% of our gross loan portfolio. Our collection efficiency, excluding arrears, stood at 96.3% for Q3 FY25, PAR 90 plus at 1.74%, GNPA of 2.44%, and NNPA of 0.76%, both predominantly measured at 60 plus DPD. The credit cost stood at rupees 420 crore for Q2 FY25, which includes an additional 29.8 crore provision on account of increased ECL across all three stages compared to F1, compared to Q1 25. Overall, the annualized gross credit cost stood at 4.1% for H1 FY25. While analyzing our credit cost figure, we would like to draw your attention to early stress recognition and conservative provisioning policy. The company currently holding 179 basis points, which is 431 crore higher provisioning for PAR 90 plus and 256 basis points, that is equal to 629 crore higher provisioning compared to IRAC prudential norms. Even when we compare us with the average provisioning policy adopted by NBFC MF industry, we are currently holding additional 102 crore provisions on account of our early recognition and higher provision rates. This will help us to recognize 70%-75% of our current stress within the current financial year, instead of deferring it to next financial year. We had comfortable liquidity position as on September 24, with cash and cash equivalent of rupees 2,036 crore, amounting to 7.6% of total assets. We have sanctions in hand of rupees 3,830 crore and another 6,918 crores worth of sanctions in pipeline. Our capital adequacy remains strong at 26.1%, further adding strength to our balance sheet. For Q2 FY24, PAT stood at rupees 186 crore, with the ROA of 2.7% and ROE of 10.1%. For H1 FY25, the PAT stood at 584 crore, with the ROA of 4.1% and ROE of 17.1%, reflecting our strong operating profitability on the back of resilient business model. In the light of current industry landscape and short-term challenges encountered, we have revised our estimate for FY25 annual performance guidance. We anticipate our loan portfolio to grow, loan for growth of 8%-12%, NIM about 12.8%-13%, credit cost between 4.5%-5%, ROA 3%-3.5%, and ROE between 12%-14%. We note that revised guidance is based on our estimation of stabilization of delinquencies in Q3 FY25, followed by improved business momentum in Q4 FY25. This should be on the back of improved rural economic dynamics during the second half of FY25, driven by healthy agricultural activities. The country has witnessed the highest monsoon rainfall over the past 4 years, which should help in increased sowing activities, resulting in a positive spillover effect. We reiterate our medium-term growth outlook, aiming to reach 50,000 crore mark by FY28, as guided earlier through a combination of both microfinance and retail finance business. Lastly, we would like to share with you all an important update related to the management team. Mr. Gururaj Rao has been elevated to the Chief Operating Officer as KMP and KMP with effect from 1st November, who was serving as Chief Audit Officer. Also, Mr. Nagarand Kumar, currently serving as Head of Operation, is now appointed as Head of Internal Audit with effect from 1st November 24. Both of them have been associated with the company for more than 15 years, contributing to the company's growth and success. I'm confident that under their leadership, we will further strengthen our market share and deliver exceptional value to all our stakeholders. Thank you for your patient hearing. We look forward to addressing your queries as we open the forum for question and answers. In the meantime, I'm requesting Nilesh to give you a 5 minutes brief of the asset quality slide, a slides what I mentioned, so that he will give a little more clarity on those slides. Slide number.
Hi, good evening, everyone. So I'll be referring to slide number 6 to 10. So since there is a lot of data we have shared, I thought it's better we kind of provide you some interpretation of the data what we have provided. So on slide number 6, we have given an update on how the PAR has moved up from Q1 to Q2. So overall, the PAR 0 has increased by 2.9%. And PAR 90 has increased by around 1%, and PAR 60 has increased by around 1.5%. These percentages are on a pre-write-off basis. The PAR 0 on a pre-write-off basis has increased by around 2.9%. So overall, the slippage, what we say, at 60 DPD, the slippage is around 1.5%, and at 90 DPD, the slippage is around close to 1%, the new PAR creation. And we have also given the figures across our top 5 states. So Karnataka, it is 2.3. Maharashtra and MP, relatively, they're holding well at 4.2 and 4.6. In TN, it has increased to 6.2. And Bihar is on the higher side at 8.9. And other states, it is 8%, but here we have to also take into account that the book degrowth is higher because there are certain states where we are kind of not growing much, like Rajasthan, Gujarat, Kerala, etc. So to that extent, there is a base effect which is kind of playing out there. Now we go to the slide number 7. Here we have just tried to analyze the PAR by looking at the vintage lender overlap and the leverage. So the first chart, we have shown the portfolio breakup basis the lender overlap and the vintage. So like here we see that unique customers, they are accounting for around 27% of the book in AUM terms, and CA Grameen plus 4 and above, that segment is accounting to around 12.6% of the overall portfolio. Here we see that the larger proportion of customers in 4 and above bucket, it is in the low vintage, that is between 0 to 4 years. And the table to the bottom right, there we have given the PAR 15 plus, that is stage 2 and stage 3, across lender overlap and the vintage. So again, here we see that the PAR is lower in the unique and CA Grameen plus 1, plus 2 categories, whereas it kind of inches up in the plus 3 and plus 4 and above buckets. CA Grameen plus 4 and above, it is around 12.2% is the PAR 15 as on September end. Again, here we see that the PAR is higher in the 0 to 4 years of vintage bucket. So largely what we have inferred from this is that customers who we recently onboarded over last couple of years, who have a relatively lower vintage with us, that is where, since we cannot meet their entire requirement, because we will start with say 40-45,000 kind of a loan, so that is where they have larger overlap with other lenders, because maybe they might have a certain history in the microfinance industry, and their overall funding requirement is higher. Moving to the next slide. Yeah, one more point wanted to highlight is the CA Grameen plus four and above cohort. It is 12.6% of the overall group loan portfolio, where the PAR 15 plus is 12%. So overall, CA Grameen plus four and above cohort is accounting for 1.5% PAR on the overall book. So out of whatever 5% PAR we have, out of that, the impact of this cohort is around 1.5%. CA Grameen plus four and above cohort. Now moving to slide number eight. Here we have again tried to analyze the PAR by considering the leverage. So here, as we see in the first table to the top left, total indebtedness of more than 2 lakh rupees, there it is around 9.4%, the overall borrowers. And the PAR 15 for that cohort, that is more than 2 lakh, it is 6%. So again, here, as we see, the PAR is lower for high vintage customers, even though their overall indebtedness is higher. As we see in the table in the bottom left. And the PAR is higher in case of low vintage customers who have taken higher leverage. So again, the point we are trying to reiterate is that if higher leverage is aligned with vintage, then the PAR is lower. And only in early vintages, if customers have taken multiple loans or they have higher leverage, that is where the PAR is relatively higher. Now, considering the two tables on the right-hand side, wherein we have tried to understand CA Grameen plus four and above borrowers. So four and above borrowers with more than 2 lakh leverage, that is 6% of the overall borrower base. And there the PAR 15 is around 10%. So again, in the bottom right table, same point appears again that the PAR is higher in the low vintage buckets where the leverage is higher. And as the vintage increases, the PAR is relatively lower. Now we go to the next slide, that is slide number nine. Here we have tried to assess our performance versus industry during March to August. So across all our operating states, the PAR 1 to 180. So we are considering 1 to 180 because the write-off policy varies from player to player across industries. So that is where the 180 plus there is a large variance. That's why we are considering 1 to 180 bucket. And that is where, as on August, R1 CA Grameen's PAR 1 to 180 was 3.4% versus 6% for industry. In our top four states, we are doing better than the industry. In case of Bihar and UP, we are largely in line with the industry. So overall, top five states, which account for 85% of our portfolio, there we are relatively doing much better than the industry. This is the CRIF IMACH data what we have sourced for the month of August, which is the latest available data. Moving to next slide, on slide number 10, we have indicated the ECL what we have taken as on September. So here the thing is that since ECL is a forward-looking model, so we keep revising the underlying data every quarter. So we typically take 36 data points, that is 3-year data we take, and as the recent data enters into the computation, the ECL rates vary. So here, from Q1 to Q2, we have seen the ECL rates have increased across stage one and stage two. In stage one, last quarter, our ECL was 0.89, which is now 1%. And in stage two, it has gone to 57.5 from 56%. So because of this, it is helping us to kind of build early provisioning buffers. And that is where today we see that compared to IRAC norms, we are almost holding over 600 crores of additional provisions. And even when we compare it with the NBFC industry norms, wherein the stage two is provided after 30 days and stage three is provided after 90 days. So compared to that, since we do early recognition, we are providing 100 crores of additional provision by booking stage two after 15 and stage 3 after 60. So to that extent, we believe that the current delinquency which has arisen, almost 60% of the impact has been taken in the P&L, and that also kind of gives us confidence that the current delinquencies will be largely taken care in this year, so that the spillover effect in the next year will be relatively limited. So these are the larger points I wanted to make. We can now take questions. Thank you, Girish.
We'll open the floor for questions, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue is set. The first question is from Lionel Dhaval from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for sharing all these additional data points. It's quite useful. I had two questions. First is relating to the slide 6 and slide 9. So if you look at the change in the August to September in PAR, it seems quite sharp in certain states. The PAR increase has been quite sharp. Is that how you expect first part is, when do you think this number starts stabilizing based on the past experience? And so that is one part of the question. And the second is, given that you said 60% of the recognition or at least the provisioning part is taken care, do you think this is the peak level of credit cost and we should start seeing moderation from next quarter?
Yeah. Okay, first question, it is not August to September, it is June to September, I think, what you asked. The change is from June to September, not in the slide 6.
What I'm referring to, so if you look at state level PAR that was shared, CredAg versus industry, I think in slide 9, where they have given, for example, states like Bihar and MP and Karnataka, etc. So that PAR is as of August for the industry and for us as well. And then September, we have given PAR data in, I think, slide 6. So the delta change that I'm seeing in each of the state numbers is quite sharp. I just wanted to reconcile that is the kind of magnitude of increase that one has seen, and when do you think this will stabilize, especially in the top 5 states?
I think there are some that's a data variation. It's a PAR 90, it's a show as
PAR, there's a 1%. So
there's difference, I can tell you.
Dhaval, as on August, the PAR 1 to 180 is...
This is what 270. See, Dhaval, that's the difference. That is 1 to 180, this is 1 to 270. That's what the difference.
Okay.
Our data is 1 to 270. Okay, that's the difference between that and this one. Because we don't have a 1 to 290 proper data from the system, from the IMR, which is relevant is 1 to 180, that is why we took it. Because after 270, there is no process of people rating of proper, comparable, that is why we took comparable data, which is 1 to 180 from the HIMAR data. So this, our data is 1 to 180, 1 to 270 days. Therefore, there will be some difference. Okay?
Okay.
Which,
so on the second... underlying question is basically this PAR increase that you would have seen, PAR 0 is what I'm referring to, between August and September. What would be the kind of change that you would have seen in the top 5 states, and when do you think this starts peaking out? That's the underlying question, actually.
There may be a difference between 75 bits to 100 bits, actually. That's the difference between that. I know that every month it's a variation of 50 bits to 100 bits, actually. So maybe September was a kind of peak. It could be about peak. We don't have right to exact data here, because part of the quarter data is available with me here. But it could be little higher, about 75 bits. It could be higher than August to September.
Yeah.
Okay, just from estimation, it may not be too different. And on second part, you said about whether this is the peak. So our view also, it should be peak, But credit cost-wise, it may not be. What I'm telling technically is that the PAR accretion or increase should be peak as per us this quarter, or maybe the trend of reversal should start from Q3. So it may be first, again, maybe October may be stabilized, November may start turning around, December may be bit improvement. So that kind of change we are estimating for Q3.
And so credit cost, you're saying that should peak in Q3, so credit cost-wise?
Yes. That is what our estimate.
Okay, understood. And bulk of the pain should be, I mean, 80-90% of the pain should be crystallized in FY25. Is that how one should think about it?
That exactly we are talking about, because our 15+ is carrying almost 60% average, right, already. Every quarter, we're already carrying more than 60% for the 15+ DPD book. So by default, even if the March level, we would have carried 60%+ for the 15+ DPD already, right? So automatically we'll be crystallizing majority of the cost in the same financial year.
Understood. And then just last question on in terms of growth, how should one think about current environment and going forward for FY26 as well, from a growth standpoint, if you have any thoughts.
Our view is we should be turnaround will start in this Q4, and then this continue afterwards. I think we don't see any challenge in FY25-26. So that is why we reiterating the medium-term growth or a medium-term what you call guidance of 50,000 crores by 28. We are reiterating that.
Got it. Okay. Got it. Thanks, and I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. Sir, what was the regular bucket collection efficiency in Q2 and versus Q1? And is October showing an improvement in that parameter?
So Q2 was 96%, and Q1 was 97%. Actually, that's 1% variation.
Sir, I'm asking for the regular bucket, zero DPD bucket collection efficiency. Specifically, you have that number?
Yes, Rajiv. So the on-time collection is 95 for September.
Yeah,
for the second quarter, it is 96.
And October?
As on September end, it's 95. So usually you can take it as the whatever is in PAR, that will be the non-standard.
So it should be 95.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then is it the right thing to understand that this metric has to start stabilizing and improving, so at least the fresh PAR creation will have to start stopping for the whole situation to stabilize? Is that the right way to monitor this number? And
what
is the key?
No, it will not stop, but it will reduce from here on. That is what our estimation is.
Correct.
So our view is it is peak. Maybe September is peak, October is stabilizing at the same level and start coming down. This is what our estimation. And we are seeing that actually happening already in a couple of states.
So what is the parameter in terms of collection metric which you are looking at, which will make you start disbursing again more assertively?
No, we are actually dividing branch between the stable branch and bit of non-stable branch. In the non-stable branch and stable centers, we are actually planning to start dispersing. Already we are dispersing to some extent. Maybe we'll start looking little more carefully going from this quarter, actually, at Q3. So our matrix is more of a stable branch and stable center is for growth, and the non-stable branch and non-center is more of a focus on control and collections.
And sir, your 0 to 60 DPD?
For a data perspective, I'll tell you, our 70% of centers have a 0 DPD, actually. So that's where we are actually working on how to renew, with better underwriting and all. 73% is for sake of numbers. So 73% of our customer center has 0 DPD.
Okay. Okay. And sir, your 0 to 60 DPD bucket has swelled from 1.1% as of June to 2.5% as of September. So I'm sure you've put a lot of collection effort there. But what is your assessment? Would it largely flow into 60 plus, or can you reduce the flow because of whatever effort you've put?
So unfortunately, our view is the flow is higher actually, not lower, because these are the type of customers. It's more of a, as I said earlier also, it's more customers we acquired in the last 1 to 2 years. Probably at the higher multiple lending segment. So we are not seeing the too much of recovery from there. That is why we are very careful and providing it upfront. So it will come back to some action, but not too much. The flow is little higher compared to earlier.
And just one last question. When I look at PAR 0 and PAR 30 figures in Bihar and the newer states, it's pretty high versus the vintage states, versus the older states. But even in Bihar, we are on a very similar line with the industry. There is no difference between CreditAccess and other player or the industry as such. Generally, that is not something that we have seen in the vintage states. Even in the newer states,
Bihar is only exception at this point of time.
I believe that when I look at even in the newer states for which you have not given the data of 1 to 180, I'm sure you are very much around the industry there.
Right. There we explained where we reduce our portfolio drastically, there is the impact of the base effect also. At least 2% variation is because of the business impact, actually, denominator impact is there. Bihar and UP, largely we are in line with the industry.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Mirae Asset. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. Three questions from my side. Firstly, how much of this PAR 0 buildup that you have seen in September, how much of this would you attribute to, let's say, the late monsoon that we saw and floods in various areas? And you have also mentioned in one of the slides that there were floods and there were collection-related challenges. How much of that would you attribute? And in sync with that, let's say in October, how has that PAR book improved?
So flood-related is about 70-80 crores.
That was March 2020.
No, in the September. Now it has actually already come back to almost 20 crores odd. So it's a flood-related. Normally, there's a small impact in this number because of flood-related, but that will not significantly impact us. It will actually come back. It has already come back to a large extent. So we should not worry about that. That is not a big part. It is small part actually in the September numbers. When again, October, some more would have gone up in the last couple of days, but again, those will come back. It's not a big number to worry. What is the second question?
Yeah, and just in this, in sync with this, let's say the overall October collection efficiency trend, has that improved over September so far while there are still 5 more days?
So far, it is stable alongside in September, Gaurav. There's not too much. That's what I was telling. October, November, it's more of a stability. Then we should look at the improve. Maybe November we'll see that little improve. December we should do more improvements.
Got it. Sure. And so the AUM growth guidance that you've given is 12% for the full year. Now, even if I take the lower end of that guidance, 8%, that is translating into 15% plus growth in the second half of this year. Given the trends currently, and we are in a stabilization sort of a mode, are you comfortable to grow this portfolio by 15% over the September 24 levels in the second half?
Yeah, that's it. Our estimation, that's again, I'll link back to estimation, is this Q3 we should be able to turn around. That is what the symptoms showing in our book as well as in the field level estimation. If that happens, then we will get almost 4 months of the disbursement time. Which is actually quite sufficient for growing, because we have a very large number of customers renewals coming in the second half. As it normally in microfinance business, second half is higher renewals. So, and we have a very large number of retained customers. So obviously we will be targeting our own renewal customers. So we have a good chance of achieving it.
Got it. And just last question, if I can squeeze in. Your credit cost guidance of 4.5 to 5, for the full year. If I look at first half, you delivered, and if I analyze that, it's closer to 4.6, 4.7. And you're saying that you expect the collection trends to stabilize in 3Q and in 4Q it should improve. So is it more on the conservative side, or you believe that overall credit cost outcomes may be slightly better than that? Is it maybe more conservative on the guidance? Because if I do the math, it translates into, let's say, around 700 or 720 or so kind of a number it is spending in the second half. So you expect that sort of credit cost in the second half?
So that is why we kept a little larger, what you call, range, right?
Right.
So the larger range we kept because we had your best case could be the lower range, the worst case should be the other range. So that's why we kept that. So because it's little uncertainty is there everywhere, right? So it can't be very precise as of today. So that is why if you see our entire guidance has a larger range compared to our earlier guidances. Because there is uncertainty. We have some plans. We have some what you call indications. Accordingly, we are working. So our view is we should do better. That is why if we do better, we will get a lower range.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Thanks.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, kindly restrict to one question per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Brewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hi, sir. Sir, two things I want to understand. First thing is, in the slides and even in your opening commentary, when you call this as a transitory or temporary increase in delinquencies, I think what we are wanting to communicate is that maybe this credit cycle that we are seeing in the MFI sector today, that could be more short-lived, could get over in this year, rather than transitory in the sense that these are temporary operational difficulties and will get course-corrected in the coming quarters. Is my kind of understanding correct when we use the word transient or temporary?
Yeah, exactly. But it is not necessarily operational difficulties. It is a bit of environmental issues also there. Environment, I'm talking the whole industry sector. So it is not just microfinance industry is struggling. It's a lot of other industry, which is finance sector, microfinance sector, individual loan sector, personal loan sector, credit card sector, retail loan sector. You can see all of there, maybe because of the some of the reasons which are in the nature of third-party intervention, some of the nature of the lack of income, some of the nature of the lack of liquidity and cash flow because of tight credit norms by everybody. All these are mixed here. So that is why we are saying because these are short-term loan cycles, so this cycle also should be short-term and should be over in this financial year itself. That is what our view. Yeah, Nilesh,
Abhijit, one more point to add here. So the thing is that the MPIN guardrails which have been introduced in month of July, so that will or that has significantly tightened the underwriting norms in the industry. So what we are seeing is that because of this, it will be more of accelerated recognition of the stress. So maybe if like what we have been seeing since last year, September, there has been a steady state increase in the delinquencies on account of various factors. So now it is more of accelerated recognition of these delinquencies which will happen in this financial year or which started in July, June, and maybe it should end somewhere in third quarter. So to that extent, as you said rightly, it will be a short-lived delinquency cycle, and post that the industry delinquency trend should be relatively better.
Yeah. Thank you. Next question is from Lionel Shweta from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So two questions. One is, so you have implemented district-based pricing model, but if I look at Q2 versus Q1 yields, they have remained largely stable. And second question, Nilesh, to you. So you mentioned that customers with 4 and above lenders are largely the low vintage portfolio customers, and the overlap with other lenders is higher primarily because your origination amount or initial amount has been as low as 40,000 to 45,000 odd rupees. So does it mean that these customers initially came to you and then suddenly they moved to the other lenders? That's why the number of lender count has increased, because you were giving like lesser amount of loans in the initial phase. Thank you.
Yeah, Shweta, I'll take the second question first. So the point I was trying to make is that, as you know, every year, whatever new customers we are adding, so 30 to 35% of the customers are new to credit, which means that the balance 65 to 70% customers are from the existing market. And the unique proportion is higher in the core markets wherein we have a longer operating history. And in the newer markets, it's relatively lower, around say 20 to 25% or 25 to 30%. So that is where what happens is that when we grow in the newer markets and we are tapping customers from the industry, it is very much possible that the customer has been operating in the microfinance industry for 5 to 10 years, but since it is new to us, we have to start at level zero, wherein we will be lending anywhere between 40,000 to 50,000. So that is where, since we are not able to meet their entire requirement, they might end up availing loans from two or three lenders more. So that is the point I was trying to refer. And as the customers build higher vintage with us, their eligibility keeps increasing cycle after cycle, post which we are able to largely fulfill their entire financial requirement. So that is where in the higher vintage customers, we see that their exposure with us or their wallet share, we have a higher wallet share. So that is the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, on this district-based spacing, yes, we implemented already. So there is a bit of shuffle between the districts from the state level to district level now. But it should not change too much numbers, because what we suddenly start catching up quarter by quarter over a period of time, it may change a bit. But it will actually help us to identify the risk and price risk properly at the district level, at a granular level. It will not change too much on the yield immediately, and it actually is not anticipated to have a yield change actually. Yield will remain stable because of this.
Thank you.
And then also we are not grown also, right? We have actually de-grown during the quarter, so it will not make too much difference.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Rungta from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi,
Nikhil.
Sir, just two questions.
Nikhil, sorry to interrupt you. Can you please speak through the handset?
On. Yeah, is it fine?
Better, thank you.
Yeah. Sir, just two questions. I'll say it in one go. One is, we have seen unseasonal rains in October. Of course, mm-hmm. You have mentioned that October, the collection efficiency should be similar or better than September. But because of these unseasonal rain, do we see any impact on October efficiency as well? Second, when will disbursement growth come back? And also, you had earlier mentioned that in every cycle, there is some or the other learning. So what's the learning from this cycle and how are we implementing the change?
Nikhil, thank you. So recent October, see, we had almost 80 crores of defaults in September because of the rains. Because we had rains in Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, Maharashtra, West Bengal, everywhere. But that default has already come down to 20 crores. So basically, the rains of such kind of default normally will not be a long time. This is only 1 week or 2 weeks, and next week money will come. Similarly, even if in August, October, we may have some difficulty. I'm anticipating Orissa, Bihar will have some default in the next 2 days. But still, this will come back. We are really will not worry much about it. So whatever collection efficiency will remain stable even with that. So we don't worry much about it. Second one is about the growth will come back. We estimate we should get at least 4 months of good business momentum in this financial year. Therefore, we calibrated about 8 to 12% growth potential for this financial year. The learning perspective, you know, the data what Nilesh explained clearly shows that the default rates are coming from the new customers whom we acquired from a different MFIs. So, because if you see, unique customer, even the new customer is behaving better. So, we need to be improving the underwriting. MFIN guardrails one way is helping us also. In some states, we have made more stringent than the MFIN guardrails, particularly in newer states, so that we will not make the similar mistake what we did before. Okay, so this should help us. When continue to retain the customers, it will help us to do well. Again, data clearly shows that. So the other thing is to retain our customers and have a better underwriting for the new customers in the new geography.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to two questions. First, I'm not sure if you've already shared this, but this 15.3% that you've shared, the CredAg plus four borrowers as of August 24, what would that number be, say, a year ago or any year ago, year and a half ago? That will be useful. And second, I wanted to understand that you spoke about you split your branches into stable, non-stable, etc. So how is 70% of your branches, that data that you shared out, does that mean that those are stable and the group meetings are continuing over there, and in the rest 30% there is some disruption in the group meetings? I just wanted to understand details of that 70% data that you were speaking about earlier.
Yeah.
The first of CredAg plus 4, we said about 12 to 13%. 1 year before it was about 8%, if I remember correctly, but not exactly. Maybe Nilesh will check it and let him know later. And in case of branch, I told the centers, not the branch. 73% of centers are behaving. Maybe it's distributed in the branches, but at least 40 to 50% of branches have a lesser par. Okay. Those branches we are actually enabling to do business with a better way going forward, because at this point of time we are actually controlling them also to be, because surrounding system is not very great at this point of time, so we tighten there also. Maybe we slowly, by the 6 months they are able to control within the 2% par, I think we are actually starting to work and motivate them to acquire customer and disperse more with the strong underwriting process.
Correct. And these customer centers which are under stress, obviously the bigger chunk would be coming from the state of Bihar for you, right?
Not necessarily. Bihar portfolio itself is only 5% of ours, Shita. So, yeah. It's only 5%. So it won't make it work. It's distributed.
Correct. And so just last question, I wanted to understand, if I just check the CRIF High Mark data on Bihar state, the different buckets, it seems like majority of the deterioration has just happened in the past 2-3 months, right? Because till June, the trends are still not so worse off as it looks right now, at least from your numbers, yeah. Assuming your numbers are closer to industry in that state.
Yes, it's the last 3 months. It's actually the, even for our number also increased in the last 3 months.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavik Dave from Nippon Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah, sir, a couple of questions. One is on incremental growth, right? And when you see how difficult is it to add new customers? We've seen new customer addition drop out. And for us to come back to the growth level that we think about in FY26 maybe, in the current environment, how difficult will it be to add new customers considering 6% of our existing customers are already in that 4 plus lenders plus 2 lakh plus ticket size, right? So even the existing customers will attract. So a bit on how we're thinking about growth.
See, the growth will come from two buckets. One is from renewals and one is from new customer acquisition. So large number of customers will come for renewal in the second quarter, actually. So even if we think about 6% customer, we have to drop. So we have already, if you look at, we are already acquiring more than 50,000-60,000 new customers per month with the new guidelines, right? So it's a bit of scaling normally will happen in the second quarter, second half. So you will have an increase in customers also, increase in renewals also. These two things should take care of your, what I call, moderate growth, what we estimated.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think Bhavik wanted to ask one or two questions, I think. Sorry to interrupt.
So one moment. Bhavik, do you have any follow-up questions?
Hello. Yeah. Yeah. So another question was, sir, in terms of the customer behavior, right? And we've understood that customers have very high understanding in terms of their credit scores. Is this cycle wherein the incomes have not got impacted, but obviously some over-leveraging has taken place? Do you see customers coming back and repaying as and when they have their money in their account rather than just like going away? Is that recovery or behavior visible in this cycle? Because COVID incomes got impacted, so did during demonetization. This cycle is very different. So how is the consumer behavior or customer behavior in this cycle? If you could just talk about
that. I think we need to wait and see. As of now, in the last 3 to 4 months, our experience that actually moving forward is much higher than the recovery here. So we have to see probably next 3 months and see how it changes. As of now, it's mostly moving forward, the lesser recovery we are seeing.
Okay. That's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah. Hardik, please.
Yeah. Sir, I have two questions. One is, last quarter you alluded that your ability to access customers was better in 2Q, and hence you were receiving partial payments. How is that trending for the delinquent customers, number one? And number two, if I see the fresh flows across states from Q1 to Q2, that has gone up across states. Karnataka has gone, for example, from 0.3% to 0.9%, Tamil Nadu from 1% to 1.7%, Maharashtra from 0.5% to 2.6%. So what is giving you the confidence that things will stabilize in 3Q and improve in Q4, given that fresh flows are continuing to come across states?
The access to delinquent customer is still good, but unfortunately, the recovery is little less compared to earlier, actually. We thought in the June quarter we should be able to do, we'll be able to recover, but it is not exactly what we had wished earlier. So it is not in the expected lines. We expected to recover more. Unfortunately, this kind of customers who have multiple lending and probably what we say over-leveraged or so, I think there are so many third-party interventions in many states. They're not repaying, so less repayment is coming. It is not as per our wish as of now. The second, what you said is, yes, there is an increase in the what you call, Karnataka, Maharashtra also, but it's not as high as compared to the whole industry or compared to the other states. We strongly believe that will still is a controllable, and then we will be able to manage much better. And already, you know, we need to keep, we keep checking the field, we keep checking the field information, how it's moving. We are seeing the stabilization in both Karnataka, in Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh, the large part of JF, even Tamil Nadu, for example, is showing 6.2% today per zero, but it is actually by and large stabilized between whatever accrual addition in August or addition in September or this October is not higher than the previous month. So therefore, we are seeing that kind of sign in many states. Therefore, we have a strong belief that we should be able to turn around in Q3, and we should be able to grow in the Q4, unless something more different thing happens. Okay. That's all now.
Okay.
This was our strong.
The ban made by RBI for a couple of NBFCs or also microfinance players, will that accentuate problems in some of the states that you operate in terms of liquidity, and hence the problem that was accentuated by MFIN guardrails could kind of get accentuated even further?
It should not be, because our overlap with such of any of these players are very, very low. Therefore, we don't see any such chance, because our maximum overlap is only with IndusInd Bank. No other we have even double-digit overlap, actually. So we don't have any worry about that.
Okay. And sir, last question on your retail book, which you've grown a lot in this quarter, although it remains a very low proportion. Any color on the asset quality there? How is that trending?
So that asset quality is exactly, I mean, very, very good, actually. So I think overall, within 0.6% of PAR 30 kind of thing.
Understood. Understood. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sorry. Okay, 0.6, it is 0.3. Sorry.
Thank you. I request all the participants, kindly restrict to one question per participant. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Sharma from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah. Yeah, Gaurav.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So two questions. One is, sir, we have seen that you have increased your branches, but in the number of employees, we have seen that they have decreased from the last quarter. So what explains this divergence? That is number one. And second, sir, you have mentioned in the medium term that share of retail finance would be around double digits. And given your target of 50,000 crores, so do you think you will be growing these segment will more aggressively and their share may increase in medium term, or you will stick to your previous guidance or the share of the retail finance portfolio, sir?
The second one, our retail finance will grow as per our earlier model of what we said, that by 28 we would reach up to 15%. So that is what the way we are going. So it will not grow too fast, but it not too slow also. 15% reaching by 28 means we should reach 7,500 crores, which is almost from a 1,000 crores to 7,500 crores is not small. But it will grow in speed, but percentage will remain about 15%. On the employees, it's a small operation. I think it's about 200 employees have changed. There may be more in trainees, which is not comes in the number. So there is no what you can worry about any employee attrition issues with us.
Okay, and sir, hiring for these additional branches has already been done, or it will come in
Normally start with a few employees to start branch, because normally once you open the branch, it takes at least 2 months time to start business. So therefore, in that process, we will take employees and we'll hire maybe one or two employees would have hired first, branch manager and one employee. Then within 2 months, we'll hire employees for those branches.
Understood, sir. Those are my only questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nidhesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So the one question, so the key issue in this time is over leverage at the customer level. And this will keep on repeating with 2-3 years. So what we are doing to make customer exclusive for us, because the best asset quality experience is provided by the customers who are exclusive to us. So from here onward, what are the steps we are taking so that more and more customers are exclusive to us?
See, our operating model is to acquire and retain the business. It is only in that process. It is only revalidated that is the best way of running this microfinance business. So I think it is a more of an underwriting improvement, which we already know some shares are actually stringent than the MFIN guardrails. Some more analytical ability we have used. So I think if you keep doing what we did, and plus additional underwriting process and high touch will remain as our core business model, which will help us to grow. It's a temporary, but yeah, we will definitely learn some of these lessons and build more robust process to retain our employees, our customers.
Just to add that Amfin Guardians are also pretty aggressive. They are allowing up to 4 lenders. So isn't that still reasonably aggressive in my mind? And up to 2 lakh rupees they are allowing. So ideally we should be operating at much lower numbers, at least in number of lenders.
I think this should be calibrated. You know, I think it is even now, I think it's not that time to comment on that from my side. But we should look at a vintage customer versus non-vintage, and then we should work on different model. As you see from data, a vintage customer with the high leverage, still it is good that there is no delinquency or less delinquency, right? So we need to be little careful in designing it, but we will, at least this time it's important to start something. It may be 3 lender or 4 lender. There was enough debate happened. Finally, we said to start with 4 lender. Maybe over a period we will move to 3 lender also, depends looking at the implementation and the results actually. But the Amfin said that after Q3 they will again review and see the impact of the guardrails, whether to make it more stringent or to add more parameters, they would look at it.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question was on how are the center meeting attendance trending as in the month of October, and from the qualitative aspect side, is there a, like, how is the inherent will to repay the loan, that aspect being discussed with like with customers from your RMs or your senior RMs who are right now going at the ground level probably.
So central attendance, there is no variation in October or September. I think largely we are more than 60-65% in the southern market. So little less in the northern market. You know, it's maybe 50-58%. You know, there's always we see this difference. And willing to pay, even if you take average 50% of the 50-58% central attendance, your one-time collection is 95%. That itself shows there is a willingness to pay, correct? So even they ensure that they're paying to the center actually. So if you ask me what is my door-to-door collection, it's only about maybe 3-4%. Other than everything is paid in center and on time. Therefore, sometime we need to be giving that extra space for customers even though they are not coming to center meeting. They're willing to pay and paying on time in the same center. They may have their own difficulties to attend the center meeting. So therefore, we are fine with that actually.
Got it. So just one last question. From these 27% centers which are relatively having higher delinquency, so which state would these be coming from, or would be part of?
This is the spread in the all states. Higher the delinquency state would have a higher percentage. Lower delinquency state would have a lower percentage, correct? And but largely it is in a little higher delinquency states, like in Tamil Nadu, Bihar, Jharkhand, Rajasthan, Kerala, these are the little higher in terms of percentage of centers.
And what strategy we have deployed to improve our collections there?
So those centers which to be, basically assigned to the better experienced employees there. They will have a higher, in a branch, higher proportion of such centers will be handled by a more experienced employee to handle and motivate the customers.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for answering my question, sir.
Thank you, Sipal. Take care.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Anish Boa for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Red Access team, for such a detailed answers. Thank you, everyone. We can now log off.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, and happy Diwali to everybody.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.